Our second message for today speaks of another time when God's plan was hidden from believers. Our text comes from Luke chapter 18, verse 34. The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. This time it was the 12 disciples. Our single verse tells us that they didn't understand what Jesus had said. But more interestingly, it also tells us that the meaning was hidden from them. Again, we ask, why would God do such a thing? Why would God conceal this matter from the 12? Well, let's back up in the text to see exactly what the disciples had been told. Verses 31 to 33 tell us that Jesus took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again." What Jesus tells the disciples here is basically the straight up gospel message. That Jesus is about to go and die for their sins and rise again from the dead. What was it about this message that the disciples couldn't understand? Furthermore, why would God hide it from them? Why are we told that God would not let them know the matter, that it was hidden from them? A couple of points come to mind as we answer. First of all, this was the third time that Jesus had given this prediction, this foretelling of the future to his disciples very clearly. Stopping what they were doing and saying, "I'm going to Jerusalem, and I'm going to suffer and die, and I'm going to rise again." He also reminded the disciples that they could have a lot to learn from this message. But each time we see a different reaction that shows that they didn't fully grasp it. After the first prediction, Peter boldly rebuked Jesus by saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." And Jesus told Peter he was following Satan at that point. Not a good reaction. After the second prediction, the Gospel of Mark tells us that the disciples did not understand what Jesus said, but also that none of them asked Jesus to explain. It's one thing to not grasp the concept. We can certainly forgive the disciples for that. But to sit there and not ask Jesus, "Tell us more about what you mean by this." That showed a lack of Christian maturity on the disciples' part and a lack of a desire to learn from Jesus. Not a good look. And after this third prediction, James and John took the opportunity to request to Jesus that they be preeminent in heaven, that they be first and second in heaven above the rest of the other 12 disciples. Again, not a good response to the gospel. So why would Jesus conceal the full meaning of his death and resurrection at this point for the disciples? Simply put, they weren't ready for it yet. Not only would the suffering and death of Jesus be a shock to their system, it would shake them to the core of their faith, as evidenced by what happened on Good Friday. Not only that, but we see that the disciples are also getting in the way of what Jesus is here to do. Peter wanted to stop Jesus from going to the cross. James and John were too concerned about their own self-interests of being glorified themselves in heaven instead of thinking about a humble Savior who would die for the sins of the world. Simply put, the disciples were a threat to themselves and to all other Christians by trying to keep Jesus from doing this all-important work. And Jesus, through concealing the matter, reminded them that they weren't quite ready for the full meaning and implication of his death and resurrection. And like our lives, I think we also see that at times our faith is a learning process, kind of like the disciples here. Jesus gives them three very clear predictions, but on top of that, he still keeps some of the meaning hidden and leads them along gently. Same thing that he does in our lives at times as well. Perhaps we're not ready for the full meaning of something that God has in our lives. Perhaps we would try to get in the way of God's plan if we did know exactly what God intended and what God was going to do. We have that same human nature that the disciples had that grates against the idea of God withholding anything from us. And so we wonder, why would God do this? We ask that demanding question in our faith, what are you thinking, God? And we can sympathize with the disciples in their struggle. But the reality for our lives is that there are times, many times perhaps, where we're not ready to receive everything that God has planned. There are times where God covers part of His purpose from us to lead us gently, to help us grow in understanding and faith. As we consider the disciples, we bring to mind another word that comes from the same root, discipline. The book of Hebrews gives us insight into this question by telling us about discipline. It says in chapter 12, "My son, do not take the Lord's discipline lightly when you are reproved by Him. For the Lord disciplines the one He loves and punishes every son He receives. Endure suffering as discipline. God is dealing with you as sons. For what son is there that a father does not discipline? And no discipline seems enjoyable at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it yields the fruit of peace and righteousness to those who have been trained by it." The Lord disciplines disciples. Just like the 12, the Lord has a purpose for your life, even when the meaning may not be known to you, even when He in His power says, "I'm going to conceal the matter for a bit so that you can't understand the full implication." And that purpose is always to lead you to peace and blessing in your faith. That's Christian discipleship or discipline, and it's a product of God's love in Christ. As we seek to understand His will, let us remember to ask the right question for the right reason. And remember that both answers come by faith in Jesus. Amen. Please rise.